Thank you very much. It's good to be with all of you, and hello to our guests. Good to have you with us today, and our guests over on this side, our guests on that side. So glad to have everybody here, and good to be back with you all. You're always on my mind. Was it Willie Nelson saying, "You're always on my mind"? And when we were praying and sitting in class and listening to people talk, say, "What can I give to these brethren? What can I bring to you?" And one day I was asked to pray the opening session, and I asked in that prayer, "Please help me learn so I can bring back information for you, my brethren," and the others would do that for them. And we had that class there, continuing education in that room. He was talking where all the people were sitting in those rows, and I was in that room and walking down that hallway and turning and going in those doors. And so it's like being there. So, and an interesting tidbit, first for an interesting note, in my Seventh-day Advent, Senior Resource Association, where I serve on Meals on Wheels, one of the ladies who works there is from Russia. And I was talking to her one day about how we have literature in our church from Russia, newly developed, because the lady has been translating it. So would you like a piece of literature from us? "Oh, yes, I'd love that," she said, a few weeks ago. So while I was up there, I asked in the mailroom there, "Do you have some of the Russian literature?" "Yes, we do. We boxes." Went back and found a box of Russian literature and got out one, "The Real Jesus Christ, the Real Story." So I brought that back with me and gave it to her the other day here in Vero Beach. And, "Oh, that's really," she was excited to get this Russian booklet. So, and then a little tidbit, you never know what can happen, but it's kind of exciting there. So her name is Elena, by the way. If you want to pray for Elena, who knows what can happen. Huh. You know what? That's not right. I could have given that sermon again. You probably wouldn't have remembered it, though. No, you would have. I thought, oh, we heard that before. Anyway, the title of this sermon is God Your God? And in our, just to go back to the continuing education sessions, let me just give you some highlights of what we talked about. One of them was continuation studies in chapters 6 and 7 of 1 Corinthians. And we went over Babylon and the beast, bishops and deacons, overview of Calvinism, visiting the brethren in India, introduction to the 70 weeks prophecy, and touring the office and the new TV studio. It was exciting to go into the new TV studio. Well, it was like a mini feast to be there and to be with other members from all over the country and to visit with them. But today I wanted to give a message that was one of the other topics. It had to do with Jacob's journey. Mr. Frank Dunkel gave this one, and I came back and tried to see if I could put this together. We also had, we're all talking to one another. One of the ladies decided to put online on an email, what did you learn this year? What did you learn new? So today I'm going to try to bring to you, with God's help, one of the items that was new to me. It's an older subject, Jacob's journey. We've had studies about Jacob before. But there's one other ingredient that I got out of this session that I didn't quite grasp. So we'll get to that in the end. But the story of Jacob's journey was covered in about 5 days. Each day had a little bit of section on it. With God's help, I hope I can condense 5 days worth of education into this sermon message. And so what can we learn from Jacob? Jacob's journey. And though that was his title, Mr. Dunkel gave that title for his, Jacob's Journey. But I'm changing it to, what I have, is God your God? And I think that's the basic lesson that Jacob had to learn, that God was actually his God. And so we'll go through this and see if we can understand some of what I came to understand about Jacob's journey and how he came to a greater realization about God. Now, just like us, all of you are going through your journey with God. You're going through your journey in your life. You're going through the episodes, the various difficulties, the various challenges that you face. You started out from a certain place in your life when maybe God wasn't working with you. He maybe was, but you didn't know it, what have you. And each of us being taught day by day, month by month, year by year, decades go by, God is working, has been working with us. And so that's exciting to know that that's happening in the first place, but that he eventually is going to bring you all, and all of us, and me too, I hope, into a great relationship together where God becomes my God, God becomes your God. You have a personal relationship with him, more dynamic than you have now. And so let's look at Jacob and see where the story begins for him. We know that we've gone over this before, and you're not going to hear many things new today necessarily, but to just rehearse the story for us, to get the overview of the story. And the story with Jacob begins with a promise made to Abraham. We see that promise in Genesis 12 and verse 3. I'm just going to quickly go over these for the beginning. And it says, "And I will bless thee." This is Genesis 12 and verse 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Verse 2 said, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." So that was the beginning of this promise that God made with Abraham, Jacob's grandfather. And then we go to Genesis 21. Genesis 21 and verse 3. We see another part of this. Genesis 21 and verse 3. "And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac." Isaac was another part of the relationship, of course, of Jacob. Isaac was the father of Jacob. But God made the promises to him, again restating, excuse me, in Genesis 22. Genesis 22 is a chapter where Abraham was told to go and sacrifice Isaac. Abraham was willing to do that. And in verse 16 to 18, we see something that God had said. And verse 16 of chapter 22, well, in verse 15, it says, "An angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." In verse 18, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So the promise continues on through Abraham, and it goes on to Isaac. And then in chapter 25, Abraham sent his servant to bring back a wife for Isaac, a wife of his kin. The servant brought Rebekah back to Isaac. This is a continuation of the story of Jacob. So Genesis 25, 20. Genesis 25, 20. "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian." This is after Rebekah was brought back. And in verse 26, we see that after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So two nations were in Rebekah's womb. Verse 23 told us that story. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the younger shall serve the elder shall serve the younger. So when she was delivered, we had Esau and Jacob. So Esau and Jacob grew along, and Jacob learned the value of the birthright. As he went along, he understood the value of the birthright that would have gone to Esau. Because Esau said it after his... the birthright would have gone to Esau, but Esau did not see the value in that birthright. And whereas he saw no value in it, he was able or willing to sell it for close to nothing. And we see Jacob's cunning to get what he wanted, and he managed to get to Esau so easily and to get Esau to forego something that he did not value. But Jacob valued it very greatly. Here we ask ourselves, what is it that we have that we value so greatly? And what does God offer to us? It's something wonderful, something of value, something of eternal life, we know. But are we willing to sell it? Are we willing to let go of it for something so easily? We want to hold on to what we have. Jacob understood something of value. We need to understand also what we have of value. Meanwhile, I want us to see the promise that God made to Abraham, that it kept going on from him to Isaac. I got my pages mixed up, didn't I? No. Genesis 26, 3 and 5. Genesis 26, 3 to 5. It says, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So we see then that Isaac had become accustomed to having God speak to him, reinforcing the relationship long ago established with Abraham. And that relationship was passed on to Isaac. In chapter 27, we see this famous story. Many people are aware of the story of how Esau was tricked and Jacob was influenced, if you would, led by his mother, Rebekah, to get the blessing from that Abraham would give a blessing to Esau. But Jacob wanted that blessing. He sought that. Well, his mother, Rebekah, had something to do with it. In verse 6 of chapter 27, it says, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father. And so the Lord, verse 11, and Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, well, it says peradventure in the old King James, but my father will feel me. And I shall seem to him a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be the curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch them. So he did. So, verse 15, and Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. And he said unto his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. So the blessing was given to Jacob. Isaac bought the lie, as it were, bought the deception, believed that it was Esau, gave him the blessing, but he was actually giving the blessing to Jacob. And then the promise went down in verse 29, Let people serve thee and nations bow to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. Well, verse 20 illustrates the point that I want to make for this message. And that is, when Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And Jacob said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And the point that was made in the session said that Jacob was saying that this is the Lord thy God. It was Isaac's God. At that point, it was still Isaac's God, not Jacob's God, that he was honoring. Jacob yet doesn't have a good relationship with God himself, but Isaac does. So Jacob is pointing out the Lord thy God. And that's the point I wanted to make there. A terrible loss happened within that family in that event, though, where in chapter 27, verse 46, we see where Rebekah is saying, And Rebekah said to Isaac, verse 46, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? And so she charges Isaac that Jacob should leave and go find a wife of their family. See, and then verse 28 and verse 1, And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise to go to Padam Aram, which is way in the north, to the house of Bethuel thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. So it was important for Jacob to go and find a wife of his family. But for Rebekah, it was probably the last time she ever saw him. And that's a moment of great, I don't know, if it was a movie, the focus would be on her, knowing that she's doing this for him, making sure he gets safe, and that she's now going to lose something big. Verse 13 to 16 of chapter 28, 13 to 16, And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the Lord and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, in all thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken thee to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. In this encounter, Jacob is coming into a knowledge of God. Remember, I was saying how that we all go through and the episodes we're going through in our walk with God. We're coming to come into a relationship with him. And this is where Jacob is coming to see it's not just Isaac's God. God is becoming more real to Jacob now, because God is communicating with him in that dream. And this is a parallel with our own lives. Each of us has a time when God seems away from us, far from us. But in due time, we're coming to a greater relationship with him. And that's what we're all being a part of here. In verse 20 to 22, it says, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And for all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And one of the things was pointed out in the sessions was that Jacob continually was very selfish in a sense. He was mostly concerned about himself. He wanted that birthright. He wanted that blessing. He is still even bargaining with God here that if you do this, then shall the Lord be my God. He's still mostly concerned about himself. And so he's got to learn about that. And how many of us have that little problem? Anyway, let's see, where was I? We have this in chapter 29, we have the story of the wives, both Leah and Rachel. I don't want to go through all that. But one of the things that we're highlighting here, excuse me, in verse 25, it says, and it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that you have done unto me? Did I not serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore, why then hast thou beguiled me? And it's interesting here that the beguiling that Jacob is feeling can be similar to the beguiling he did to his father. It reminds one of what you sow, you shall reap. And he had beguiled his own father, so now the beguiling is coming back on him. So that's a big lesson for us to learn. Jacob had served Laban 7 years for Rachel, but he got Leah. So now he agreed to serve another 7 years for Rachel. In verse 30, and then he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet another 7 years. So, let's see. In chapter 30, in verse 22, we saw something here about Rachel. Verse 22 of chapter 30, God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. Her womb had been closed up, and she's also having a relationship with God. interestingly enough. And Rachel had some knowledge of God as she gave him mention upon sons born to her handmaid Bilhah. But in verse 24, and she called his name Joseph, her son, and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." You know, this is what I'm trying to emphasize here is the relationship of Jacob to God. There's also a relationship between Rachel and God. And that's something to notice in this relationship of these people. Chapter 31, kind of giving an overview here. Chapter 31, in verse 3, it says, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of your fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." Remember, Padan Aram was way in the north. We learned that it was like in Syria of today. It's about 400 miles from Padan Aram back down to Bethel, way down south of Jerusalem. And that distance, they had to travel by foot. Imagine that. But God said unto Jacob, "Return unto the land of your fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." So he had to go back down to Bethel area. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, "I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me before." Jacob made arrangements to make sure that he had his house in order before they started out. And he was also trying to avoid having Laban, who was kind of a shyster apparently, to trick him into getting the better of the sheep. But that's an aside. Chapter 31, we see a change in Jacob's maturity in his relationship with God. And it's the point I'm trying to make in this message. In verse 5 of 31, we see, and said unto them, "I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me." So he's beginning to realize that God is with him, where more so than before. It was Isaac's God back then. Now it's becoming more his own. He's having his own relationship with God. How many of us are going through the same thing is what I'm trying to emphasize. My title was, "Is God Your God?" Not just somebody else's God, not just the God of your father or your mother or somebody else. Is God becoming your own now? And here he is in this process of having that come true for him. But he's not there yet. Because he says, the God of my father has been with me. And in verse 7, it says, "And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God allowed him not to hurt me." He's talking about Laban. Laban changed his wages. Laban tricked him here and there and yon with Leah and so forth. And so, but Jacob is realizing that God has not allowed Laban to hurt him. So there's another part of that relationship. And verse 9 says, "Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me." He's seeing God even blessing him now. And then in verse 11, it says, "The angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I," or "Here I am." And Jacob is dreaming. And in verse 17, we see, "And then Jacob arose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels." But look at what it said here in verse 12. "I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest the vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return to the land of thy kindred." He already told him that back up in the top of the chapter here. "And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion inheritance for us of our father's house?" They thought that they should get something from Laban, their father. Even Laban was holding back stuff from his own daughters. Are we not counted to him as strangers? For he has sold us and has quite devoured also our money. So he even took their money that was rightfully theirs. So Laban was kind of a character. Then in verse 25, see, Jacob took off from there with all the entourage. And they took off and they headed down the road, if you will. But Laban went after them. He didn't let them just go. And in verse 25, it says, Laban overtook Jacob. And Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters and captives of the sword and so forth? There was a verse here. Oh, verse 24. I didn't write it down correctly. Verse 24 is God intervening on behalf of Jacob against Laban. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now God is going to bat, so to speak, for Jacob. God has a big plan for Jacob. He has big plans for him to go on to fulfill his purpose. But Laban is like this stumbling block. And God is saying to Laban, don't mess in a way with Jacob. Let him go. Just treat him nicely, essentially. Neither treat him good or bad. And so God intervened for Jacob. Eventually, Jacob and Laban depart in peace, and Jacob's journey continues on. Again, for you and me, what stumbling blocks do we have to overcome, or are still overcoming in our walk with God as we go forward in our calling? Do we continue through each episode of our lives to gradually come to know God more, develop a greater dependency on Him, and to seek God's help more than we ever did before? In chapter 32, we see how Jacob left from one challenge of leaving Laban to go into another challenge. Because now he's coming to the place where he's got to face Esau, his brother. Remember, they didn't depart from one another in the best of terms back when Rebekah sent Jacob away to protect Jacob. Esau was going to kill Jacob at that point. So you can imagine as Jacob is heading back to the place of his family, and he knows he's going to have to face Esau. And he knows that when we left party, it was not nice. His life was in jeopardy. Well, excuse me. In Genesis 32, 6 and 7, Jacob went ahead and sent messengers ahead. And verse 6 of 32, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he has come to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. So you can almost feel Jacob trembling in his boots. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble here. And he's got 400 men. He doesn't know if the 400 men are armed, if they're there to take him, or whatever. So he's prepared for the worst. So finally, Jacob has got to face Esau. And when we come through chapter 32, we see a very great event take place. As he's going on, you read down through the chapter here, and he divided up his family. Let's see. Okay, verse 21, I suppose. So when the present, I'm kind of creating here as I go, because I didn't have this in my notes, but it's important. So when the present over before him and lodged that night with the company, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over what that he had. So he divided his family, sent them over across the brook, and get them in a safe place before he faces Esau. Before he faces Esau, this great event takes place that he probably never expected, and that Jacob now was left alone. This is an important moment for all of us, as I'm trying to illustrate in this message today, that Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. I had read this section of scripture many times and had a particular understanding of it. And this is where, for me, I came to an additional understanding that I didn't have. But we assume or presume that the man that he wrestled with was Jesus, because he says in verse 30, because Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Well, we know we don't see, no one has seen God face to face, so that the person he saw had to have been Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, in verse 25 on down, and it says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he wrestled, then he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore, why is it that you have asked my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. In verse 31, and as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. I don't know what that means, but it's there. But the issue here, the point that was made at the session that I'm trying to make to you and to me, is that in this case, we saw that Jacob started out, God was not his God. It was Isaac's God. At that point. Meanwhile, God is still working with Jacob as we go along. He's beginning to have a relationship with God. He has dreams with God. God is becoming more real to him. Now he's wrestling. He has to wrestle with someone who is representing God. And now he's also got a physical handicap, because his thigh is out of joint, his leg or his hip is out of joint. And so with that, he's now completely vulnerable. He's completely without himself, as it were. He can no longer depend on himself. His whatever arrogance or self-appraisement that he had of himself, the characteristics he had, willing to take advantage of others, selfishness, vanity, all that stuff is getting whittled out of him. Bang, 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 chopped out of us. How many of us have the same thing happen? Where whatever we have in there, that characteristic of selfishness, vanity, is getting knocked out of us. He gets to this point where he is now without capability of himself to face Esau. And now he has to depend totally on God to face this enemy of his, or his perceived enemy. And so, chapter 33, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and he divided the children into Leah and unto Rachel and unto two handmaids, and he put the handmaids, he divided them, and let's see, in verse 4, but what did Esau actually do when they came? And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Well, that's a surprise. All the expectation that he had of Esau wanting to take him out to lunch, no, that's not exactly what happened. How much of that was God doing that? How much was God intervening on behalf of Jacob to make sure that what Esau came to have in his mind was completely the opposite of what Jacob expected? And Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God has graciously given me. Notice, he's giving God the credit now, not my children, the children God has given me. Then the handmaidens came near, and their children, and they bowed themselves, they were gracious. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. Everybody's gracious, kind. There's goodness here. There's value. It's like, this is wonderful. And certainly the opposite of what he expected, as I said. Well, you go to chapter 35, and we see again about this blessing that God is wanting to give to Jacob. The changing of Jacob's name is significant, and we read of it again in chapter 35, in verses 1 to 7. Chapter 35, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that were among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Isn't that a significant statement to make? Do any of us say that? Do we recognize God's intervention in our lives? We want to. It's what we're striving for. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their land, get rid of the junk in their past, and all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which is by Shechem. And then another interesting, verse 7, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. El Bethel means the God of Bethel. But there's an interesting verse here that's kind of stuck in. It doesn't seem to fit, but it does. Verse 8, but Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it is called Elon Bachuth. And I wondered about this verse. I don't know. I didn't read anything about it. I just wondered about if, because Deborah was Rebekah's nurse, how long ago did Rebekah maybe die? Jacob never saw his mother again. It doesn't say here whether Jacob met Deborah, but the fact it says she died. Maybe he did meet her. Maybe he saw her. Maybe it was the one last connection that Jacob had with his mother through Deborah, her nurse. And so in a way, by burying Deborah, that she died, perhaps the last page of his relationship with his mother was now closed. The book could be closed on Rebekah as far as Jacob was concerned. He lost sight of his mother a long time ago. And now, one last thing to take care of. to close the book on that, maybe. I thought that's an interesting thing that God put that in there to give us an understanding, maybe, of the relationship that we don't know about. And in the world tomorrow, we'll know about however that worked out. Anyhow, verse 9, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee I will give the land. So we see that God now restates strongly the same promise he made to Abraham and to Isaac, and that would continue beyond Jacob, through Jacob onto another day. And that's another story. But we notice that Jacob came back to Isaac in verse 27 and 29. We have to close the book on Isaac, because it says, and Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 104 years. I did not know that Isaac was 180 years old when he died. That was a little tidbit of notes I didn't know. But anyway, there it is. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Perhaps this is one of the last things that those two did together. I don't know. But nevertheless, because Esau went his way and Jacob went his way, but for this moment in time, if we were watching a movie, perhaps the scene would stop right there for a moment and let us dwell on that moment of when those two sons are burying their dad. So the book is being closed. It seems like God is tidying up. We now know about Rebekah. We now know about Isaac. Now we go on with the rest of the story, because there's all the things that Jacob is going to do. We're not going to go there today. We're only bringing Jacob to the place where I tried to get to us to see God now is Jacob's God, not just Isaac's God. Is God your God? When are you coming to see God in your life? And all of us are in our own journey as we are. We're on various stages of the journey, as Jacob was in various stages of his journey. So he is, so we are. And there's always this hope and this value to recognize, to keep at it day by day, day by day, day by day. And some days you don't feel like you grew very much. Some days you went back 3 steps. Some days you just blew it, you know. And one day, one night this week, I could not pray. Oh, I stayed there for a long time. Couldn't say a word. Because I knew I was wrong. I was a mess. That one, I don't know what Tuesday or when, I don't know what day it was. But I can't say anything. But next time, I prayed very well. It's like, it's this growing experience that we're going through. So what do we learn? Like Jacob, Isaac, and we had this parallel with ourselves, with him. And yet the result will come out the same place. We're going to go to God's kingdom. What does he want us to become? That's what our goal is. And even when Jacob was battered and lame, it came to him to depend on God more and more. We know that we do not encounter the challenges of life alone. Yet it's tough for us to admit that fact. We all want to think we're capable. Oh, I don't need your help. Isn't that a famous line that we would use ourselves, of ourselves? Oh, I don't need your help. Would you like help with that? No, I can get it. Thank you very much. He's trying to help us. May we all review the life of Jacob. And from time to time, and ask ourselves these very this very important question: is God your God? Is God my God? Do I have a relationship with him? Not somebody else's, but mine, the one I believe in and love. So when you have that, I think we're on the right track.